I am. Father in you, you and Father in one. Thus there is no separation. And yet you are his child. He created you so that he could. So that he could live. In you. And you in him. So that he could walk upon the earth. So that you, his child, could rejoice as he within you teaches. And those teachings are that it's just one thing ultimately, the I am. This paradox that you are his child and yet he is. It is he that lives within. It's not you that lives, but Christ that lives within you. Paul understood this well. Can you understand this? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Bondage is you in the world, you playing the game, you going by your own understanding, you living as if you really matter, as if you really count. And of course, the delusion of the world is that you are God, that you, without any life in the spirit, that you are somehow precious in your own eyes. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I think that pretty much sums it up. When I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, and that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such of the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Because why? Because in the Spirit, they are in the embodiment of the law, the fulfilled law in Christ that is within them. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now that's very important, Galatians 6:3, because why? It's very important because in the world, the entire delusion or the illusion, which is the world, which is the connection between things, the mind-controlled world, you have to realize 99% of the people here upon the earth are mind-controlled, and what they do forms a web or matrix. For example, and I'm going to get to this idea of man exalting himself, because, you see, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. When a man is destroyed for the sake of Christ, he is Christ. He disappears. Christ is. And he is who believed he was not. For it is Christ that lives. Ultimately, that's what we must understand. The I am is all in all. We, separate of that, are nothing. There is no thing, no work that we would do that means anything. Nothing means anything. Unless it is the Father doing the work, not through us, but by us who are His Spirit manifest, one in one. John 17. Maybe now this will make sense. Maybe now this will make sense. So if you turn to John 17, I mean, not that you walk with your Bibles, but I happen to be in the habit now of walking around with mine. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou sent me. I am in him. He is in me. We in him, he in us as one. There is one I am and there is nothing else. The entire creation, the manifold creation, is not apart from God. Nothing is. The realization that surrender is giving up, and the destruction, the death of the ego, the I am within you, to the greater I am, which is God, that you would disappear, Christ would appear, that you would then be the perfect servant, because it would be him and you that lives, that is the Spirit that lives and does the things of the Spirit, so that all the works would flow from that. Thus, the works would then show. The works would then show Christlikeness, not because of your striving, but because you're not here. You have become transformed and renewed in the Spirit, which is his Spirit. Well, you're always going to get a little bit of Molly barking. But she operates in the Spirit. There's no reflection in her, in animals. She's not an I am. She does not heap glory upon herself. Yet she is a friend, a spiritual friend. Okay, Molly. Come here, Molly. Come here, Molly. Come over here now. What's going on out there? Huh? What's going on? Sit down. Sit. What is it? Hmm? What is it? Huh? If you want to insist on continuing, I'll let you out, but it's very early in the AM. Yes, she is designed to chase coyotes and to run off anything that makes a noise. And, of course, to warn if there is something wrong, if there is an intruder or something like that. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So understand, the church today is carnal because it has externalized God at the very fundamental level. So these people will remain weak. Their controllers remain strong as the satanic system reigns within their hearts and minds, which is really mind control. Remember, Satan is about the mind. Christ is about the heart, which is also the soul. Indeed, most of the things that happen that people do when they think they are of their own mind and they do them are of the hive, the matrix. An idea pops in, they write a song, they create a movie. Most movies are used as triggering devices for and mind control on a mass level, same with advertising and television and books and whatever they produce. They don't know why they produce what they produce. But, for example, many films have triggers in them for mind control, and it's not just for a guy in a lab coat somewhere that's planting a trigger, and then when they hear it in the movie, they're triggered and they do something. That's a very low level. This is all going on a much higher level, where all society will go to war, or all society will think this or that, or all society will vote for gay marriage, let's say, something inane such as that, or something ridiculous such as that, and they will do these things and get caught up in these things and address these things, all because they are controlled by triggers, because they were pre-programmed already by previous programmers who now hide within the electricity, within the media, within everything that is taken in through the eyes, the ears, especially through music. So certain social mores are formed, but all of which go toward the libertine, i.e. rebellion toward God, for the ultimate purpose of destruction, because Satan realizes that Yahweh must destroy that which is anathema, or that which is an I am outside of the I am, which is him and all there is. Thus the illusion that there is a separate world, a separate covenant. For when a person is changed, he is no longer himself, but Christ who lives. Thus there is a submission to the great truth that is, nothing is outside God. Nothing. And anything that thinks it is outside God is running, waging a war they cannot possibly win. For at some point in their lives, they will slow down, even due to old age, become weary, and they will realize that it's all been a game, and they will die. It is a game played on many levels, but with one purpose. That is to convince people to take souls from God. That is, souls that will not... What are souls taken from God? How are souls scalped? These are souls that will not surrender to the truth. These are souls, hearts, minds, who will not submit, who will not be within the I am, and the I am encompassing them, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is all kind of heavy for you. I understand that. But it is time you understand that this walk is nothing unless he lives, unless you die. We can sit here talking about ethics. We can sit here talking about how you should live in the world and how you should treat your neighbors. We can sit here talking about all manner of things. But unless you have been caught up in, consummated, initiated, changed, killed, reborn, so that you are not, but he is, so that you are gone, yet he remains. Until and unless that experience happens to you, you are still in the world, you are still mind controlled, your soul is controlled, your thoughts are controlled, your ideas about life are controlled. The very nature of the ego is to copy, to be unoriginal. You know how people admire creative ones who they just seem to get out of the way and just create like they're just little children free? How even in the arts, all through the arts, people have that talent, are the ones who get the roles in acting, or the ones who do the artworks, or the musicians on stage who seem to even forget themselves. You pay to see that. Why? Because that represents freedom to you. You want that. You don't want to reflect and criticize and analyze and make yourself tired every day when these kinds of pursuits mean nothing. You run around and around a track going nowhere. You have the same discussion every other day, meaning nothing. You intend to do this or that with your life, which means absolutely nothing to anyone, as your ego is not you. Who are you? You're a timid, lost, pathetic, helpless creature in need of something, in need of a home, in need of the place, in need of the truth, in need of a rest. The world will say, come with us, I'll make you a star. And indeed, they have a counterfeit way that emulates all of what I'm talking about perfectly. With social acceptance, the building of the ego, however, but this ego submitted to the hive, ultimately that takes over. And ultimately, the person who was there is gone. Well, the same thing with God. The person who was there must be gone too. Either way, the person must die. If they make the mistake of going with the world, which most of the world has made, then they have the illusion of being free. And only later in life do they realize they're in bondage and they made a mistake. But because they had fed from the trough for so many years, because they had deceived themselves, built their families, built their fortunes, built their connections, built their works over so many generations, they can't, to do otherwise would be seen as to be a traitor. So they will die fretting and worrying. And of course they will be correct. Their soul will be screaming for them to repent, but they won't. Because they know that if they repent, their children will be cut off. The punishment will come. They will be abandoned. What they don't realize is they already are abandoned. They're desolate. But there's this temporary idea, because of acceptance and supernatural powers, that they are really born again, changed, and the world approves of them. Whatever they write, the world receives. Whatever they think, the world receives. Whatever they imagine, the world receives. Whatever, if they're the resident genius, whatever they create, the world receives, even though it's sheer idiocy because it compares nothing to God. And so their physics fails, their science fails. Ultimately, they can't tell you what the universe is. No one can. Because the answer would be in the submission, the relinquishment of the I am to the truth, which is God. And that's all there is. So what there is there is a temporary race to run, gather all the cash you can, do all the works you can, take advantage of the supernatural powers you have in Satan. Those who finally wake up and go, oh, it's all Satan. Okay, how do I get in? I've been four or five generations in this and we have very high rank. You have nothing. You have nothing. We're bloodline elite from Cain. You have nothing. Everything you built is an illusion. Nothing meant anything. In fact, this world, one degree different dimensionally, never existed. Everything that you toiled to build means nothing. Civilization is nothing. The only thing that is I am. And whatever works flow from the Spirit are honored. Whatever works flow from man is not seen ultimately. So when the dust of civilization comes over, there'll be no one to discover anything. They discover a person here, a person there, but vast hordes of people have come and gone without so much as a mention of their works, of their lives. Many whose seed was cut off, as they have disappeared as dust, as the Father said they would. Unless you are born again of the Spirit, you'll be as dust to dust. Nothing you thought, felt, believed in, knew, achieved. None of that means a damn thing. Not to the past, not to the present, or the future. Indeed, everything you concoct is vanity. Everything you concoct is desolation. Everything you concoct is failure before you ever put it into motion. The only thing that matters is that you surrender to the truth. And then what works you do are seen, are counted as the works of the Father, which are the only works that are known. Hard truth, but so easy. Because what it means is all you have to do is surrender the idea that you're going to get anywhere in this life. Surrender the ego is die. All you really have to do is die. The Satanists will tell you the same thing, but they mean something else. Their dying to ego means to become part of the collective. So they share and share alike their resources and band together to accomplish. And they get a great deal of satisfaction in that. But it is a fool's paradise and a fool's satisfaction. It cannot possibly yield any fruit in the long run. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So you see, not by works, but by his glory. A new creature, that is Christ, lives. You do not. I am, you are not. That is very simple, is it not? Thus we can see that St. Catherine of Siena did hear or receive a word from Jesus Christ in this time. And Richard Wurmbrand had written it in his book and recounted it. And I read it yesterday. Now, how do you get out of your own way? Well, first of all, how do you know you're in your own way? How do you know you've walked in the flesh? Well, fear. Fear, loathing, self-criticism, self-reflection. And let me explain this. The church is very much involved, and Satanism is very much involved, they're hand in hand with this, in causing a person to be self-reflective and fearful and in doubt and going to men for counsel on how to live better lives because they're afraid constantly of going to hell, and they don't even know who they are that would go to hell in the first place. Because indeed, if they had been born again, initiated into God's side, or if they had been dead again, I suppose, initiated in the dark side, in both cases, it would not be they who live, but a different creature. In the satanic case, it would be the collective within a person, or the hive within a person. In God's case, it would be the Holy Spirit within a person. In the middle, which most people are, they live on their own understanding, and they live in fear every day of their lives. They fear their failure. They fear performance. They fear their ideas. They fear their futures. They fear for bread. They fear their fear of death. They fear their incapability of resolving issues. They fear. And From fear comes a willingness to submit for safety. And thus, the satanic way offers the most practical means of getting rid of anxieties, fears, phobias, illnesses, whatever. And so they give up their souls for that in exchange for a few trinkets. My God, when Satanism itself is an illusion. Oh, they promote it here. They've come around here promoting their sick, twisted stuff. Now, let me explain about the game. Those trapped in the game. Anybody that is not in Christ is in the game. Anyone not in Christ is in the game. The game consists of self-corruption and then finally submitting to mind control so that they would control what you do. I saw a film where they said, it's very important for you to say, this is the girl. That is a trigger phrase. It's very important for you to go over here and do this particular thing. You may not know why you're doing it. It may not make sense, but yours is not to question why, yours is but to do or die. So if you have an entire hive running around doing these little things, a huge tapestry is being made, though you're compartmentalized to know not much of it. Hence, the game for you is to do as you're told. And that's it for most people on Satan's side, to do as you're told and to make moves against God's people where you can. And in exchange for that, you're moved up the ladder. You know, whether you can kill them, game them, steal from them, whatever. That's a very big part of their focus. On the other hand, those in Christ, the focus is not them, because them don't exist. Them have gone into the mirror. They're an illusion. They're not really real, as Brother Thomas had said. They're not really real. Can you understand that? And so when they insult you, it's not them that insults you. But if it bothers you, you are not in Christ. Because Christ in you would not react like that. If they frighten you, you're not in Christ. If they impress you, you're not in Christ. If you're obsessed with them and what they might or might not do, you're not in Christ. If you're being thrown left and right, center, up, down, you're not in Christ. If you're not walking a straight path and they're beating you up and kicking you all over the field and affecting your future, you're not in Christ. How does one make the transition then to being Christ? How do you finally get beyond the waves, as I call it, beyond the barking dogs, which is what they are? Because they don't know what you know. And believe me, I have tried to have a discussion to where I must have repeated myself 1,000 times to neighbors and others. They don't hear one word. They don't comprehend it. They can't receive it. Because when I'm in the Spirit, it's going to be His word. His word talking to you today. It's Him in me talking to you. Obviously, those who have ears to hear. Obviously. There have been people who have written me and said, well, in the past you had false doctrine about eternity and this and that and the other thing. Sorry. It will be revealed if anyone cares, and I certainly don't, that those words were right. It's just that they weren't ready to receive them at that time. God did not choose me to do this so that I would say false things. It's only false to those who cannot receive. And they may love the Lord and pray all the time, but they're filled with fear and loathing, self on their own understanding, their own learning, and they have not been taken. They have not lost themselves the Spirit. Only those who have been truly beaten and beaten and beaten to the point where their egos are, where they're such a mess, only these people really can then give it all up and be in the spirit. And that's why the Lord breaks us. But only these people can really be his spokes, his mouthpieces. They have to be utterly separate, utterly losers in the world, utterly broken down, because anything else would be coming from a place of ego, coming from a place of self-satisfaction, coming from a place of separation. That is, the belief that one is a separate self being ministered to by the Spirit of God, but that he is a creation unto himself that God created, but so that he will worship God as a separate thing, and he will receive as a separate thing, and he won't quite have it. And that's about as far as most people go. The next step is complete surrender. How does one do it? How do you do it? Well, when you admire people who are seem to have lost themselves and they're completely unselfconscious on stage, and you flock to see them, why do you do that? Because there's something in there that you need. It's got nothing to do with them. There is no them. There's only you. There's only you. Really, there's only God. God in you. You and God. Anything outside of that doesn't exist. Though that's a paradox. Well, look at all these people. There are no people. Just you and him. And he is either in you and you're in him, or you don't exist. So how does one make that transition to living completely free? That is, God who lives, Christ that lives in you, you're gone. Boom. Because you never existed. How does one get to that point of dissolution? The dissolution of ego, the death to self. So that the joy of Christ lives. So God lives in this vessel and walks around on earth. How does that happen? They say Christ-like. You'll be as him. How do you be like Jesus? How do you become Jesus Christ? Only one way. Complete, utter dissolution of self. There's only one way. Then who are you without your ego? Who are you without your routine? Who are you without your mind control? You're not. You never were. Most people are afraid of death. And what I'm talking about is literally death. Can you die to that? Because that is what dies when you physically die. So I'm saying to make the transition, you must die to every aspect but the physical. Just like you would die a real death. That is, you're not there anymore. Can you do that? Only after much breaking, eh? So the world breaks their people down to where they will dissolve and it become the hive. God breaks his people down so that they would dissolve. They would live in him and he in them. They wouldn't be so concerned then with getting this right or that right or living like this or all these external forces they try to put on themselves. They would just be. There'd be no more need of any kind of thing. Can one be that free? Do you worry about how it's going to look? Do you worry about what people think? Do you worry about the way the external world? Do you worry about having too much or having enough or not having? Or the other guy getting away with something? So in other words, death to the ego and to the carnal self means life the spirit lives. Can you trust enough to die to yourself so that the spirit would live and there would be no self-reflection any further? You just do. Moment to moment. The spirit just lives and does what it does, weaving God's tapestry, just like Satan weaves a tapestry, God has a tapestry, which includes Satan's tapestry, by the way, which is an illusion. The works of the world and mankind without God do not exist. I just hate to put it that way, but it's an illusion. The people that would be on Satan's side who are there to create mind control games and you see supernatural manifestations, it's because they're not human. They're not real. They're not there. It is supernatural because it's coming from being controlled from another place. So you say, how could that person think? The person doesn't think anymore. They're just part of the hive. That's all. They do their part in a larger tapestry. So it's not their brilliance. You go, oh, that's brilliant. I couldn't beat that. It's not one person. That's a whole network of people in that one person. Okay? Which ultimately is just the illusion of separation from God. So as he is glorified, if you're in him, you are glorified. Because he is, you're not. I am, you're not. Once you realize that, you can die to self. You realize that, as Solomon said, all your works are vanity. And you say, well, okay, that means nothing matters. I might as well do nothing. It's like, no, it's where is it coming from? Is it flowing from the Spirit? Is it flowing from your fear? Or is it flowing from the hive? Because those in the middle are in fear, obviously. I would be in fear too. Wouldn't you, if you were in the middle? You didn't know God existed, and this whole evil satanic world's coming after you, and you're wondering what the hell they want? Oh, that's nothing. I don't believe in that. Go ahead and take it. Goodbye. Now you're a puppet. Now you operate as the hive. I'm a big man. That's an illusion. Still Wizard of Oz. Still it's the Wizard of Oz. So behind every person is the Wizard of Oz. Behind all they do and all you see and all you perceive is the Wizard of Oz. Beyond everything that you think is separate, that's something you've got to shoulder, it's the Wizard of Oz. You're not to take the world on your shoulders. That's God who is the world. You're in him. He's already got it. His burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Therefore, you have no burden, no yoke, no bondage, no heaviness, no world weariness. No nation to belong to. Oh, but in the Bible, they were great men of God who fought for the nation of Israel. Yes, but at that time, they're also the high priests, the Nazarites, people of God. He can use all this to weave. Yeah, it's important for him to have the United States and Israel and England and Russia and China and, you know, embroiled with Lebanon and this whole Middle Eastern conflict. We've been predicting it for a long time, and now it's here. And yes, there'll be a nuclear holocaust at some point, but it will be for the cleansing of the earth by fire. They've tried to have nuclear wars in the past, and they never got it going. Because they don't matter. They can't plan anything. You want to beat the game of Satan? All you have to do is not plan anything and not care about being somebody and not need to get even with anyone and not hate anyone. In other words, you're just, there you are, praising the Lord, content on the rock, which is salvation of Jesus Christ, needing nothing added to you, needing nothing from the world. They can't touch you because you're in him, he's in you. That's it. Most people want to win the game, and so they play mind games with themselves. Mind games are being played with them. They don't realize it's not them, but it's actually supernatural infusing of thoughts into people's minds. That in the future it's going to get better. I'm going to keep working and get my retirement, and then I'm going to accept the Lord. One day I'm going to win. There is no winning. Now, to those of you who really want to know how to walk in this love of God right now, the love of God right now, let me just lay it out. Forget the future. Forget the past. Get yourself into the Word or in prayer. Say, Father, Jesus, I give myself up to you. Please take over my life. Live in my heart. Take over my vessel. Let these hands do your works. Let this mind think your thoughts. I am no longer here. Please, I die to myself so that you can live. Amen. Without that sacrifice, you have nothing. There is no born again. There is no born again. You believe in, and that's all you got to do. Romans 10:9. You're saved. No. Belief is that death. Belief only can come after that death, after that surrender. Belief triggers the surrender of the soul unto God, so that belief triggers the death that you go through so that Christ would live. Belief is not an exterior thing. Oh, I believe in Jesus over there. Jesus is out over here somewhere. Jesus. Yeah, he's going to come back and he'll be over there on that throne and I'll be over here. I know. You will? That would perpetuate the separation and Satanism and everything else forever and ever. Is God going to do that? No. Is this too deep for you? It may be. It may be too deep for me right now where this is headed, this discussion. Because when you realize this, it's sort of game over, isn't it? Huh? This is kind of cutting to the chase, isn't it? Game over, yes? So there's no more need to defend the shores of Babylon? No more need to go mate and have all these children, make them all go to college? No more need to go out and achieve in the world so that you can have your plaque on your grave and they might put flowers there every once in a while? Maybe someone that took your place would do that. So that you wouldn't care anymore about what the Satanists are thinking or doing, or if they kill you or not, or whatever they do. So that you would see that the whole thing is an illusion and not to be trifled with. And after all, being in the world is a trifle, is it not? All your struggles are but nothing. Perhaps the poor people, the meek people, have it better around the world because there's nothing to lose, nothing to buy into. Death to self, much easier. Perhaps everyone in the United States is considered a rich man who cannot go through the eye of a needle, a camel, not through the eye of a needle, because what person here wants to die? Any volunteers? Because the death Jesus requires, the belief in Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. You don't believe it unless you die to self, because how could you? Belief means, the very belief in Christ means that you are not. So you would have to die to self based on that belief, or you would not be saved. So the scripture is accurate. Let's go to Romans 10:9. Just for the heck of it. Why not? Since this is the Holy Spirit's ministering to you, and not Zeph, that's good. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, ooh, there's that key word, belief, in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, how can you believe? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, yes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so it's a little deeper than just believing like a news article about, hey, these people all said they saw Jesus resurrected. You believe it? Yeah, I do. Well, then you're saved. Huh? But then didn't Jesus say to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And didn't he go further than Nicodemus in terms of the standard of righteousness, which just means separation unto God? Just means you're with God, not them. You're not part of the hive, you're with them. It doesn't mean... yes, God knows you still live in the flesh. So, still knows you're...
I try to tame that. I whip that flesh. I beat that flesh every day. Satanist is like, oh, I worship the flesh every day. Both are extremely out of whack. The walk in Christ is a by and by thing. The Holy Spirit deals with the flesh. You don't. You try to corral that flesh and make it behave, it'll just rebel. Right? I'm never going to look at pornography again. Just the minute I say that, I'm back at it again. Yeah. I'm never going to drink again. Oh. The minute I say that, I do it 10 times more. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole law. That works temporarily, and then all of a sudden, yes, I only do a little bit of drink, a little pornography, a little of this, but I'm not here. There's something living in me that's enjoying the fruits of life. I'm in the middle, running away from God. Now that doesn't work. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But then the standard goes higher. And that horrible, horrible scripture of Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, which you can't do unless you're, you know, unless he's in you and you're in him, unless he lives in you. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name have done so many wonderful works. And I will profess to them and unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, they believed in him. They believe in him because in his name they prayed and they cast out devils. I'm sure when he died and resurrected, they believed that and they confessed it with their mouths. So you see, you can't look at Paul's writing after this and lower the standard being the same standard. It's not for you. The standard isn't for you to just be more righteous, like, I'm not going to do anything wrong today. I'm not going to look at girls. I'm not going to smoke any dope. And I'm not going to play with myself. Okay, I promise. See how righteous I am? I didn't do those things today. Wow, good for you. You want some applause? Huh? Gee, I didn't eat 5 pizzas. I only, you know, had a salad. What do you want, applause? What is this? Who are you? What the hell do you matter anyway? I mean, should God stop and bow down to you now? You see, what's required is your soul. What's required is you to die to your ego, to yourself, which is just the same kind of death as a physical death. It's the same thing that would happen emotionally and mentally to you as a physical death. You do not live, but Christ within you lives. You don't exist anyway. The ego, so many esoteric people who have taught things about mysticism, the spirit, realize that the ego is the impediment to the spirit. In other words, that ego wants to win, wants to play the game, wants to have little mind games going on and control other people and have sex and force them to have sex with them and force them into abominations because they're a lower rank and keep them in bondage and never get away. So people realize, well, the ego is one problem, but what the flesh is another one. So men would castrate themselves and become eunuchs because they felt that that would make them more dutiful servants to God. There are spiritual eunuchs and flesh eunuchs that the king would put around the women because they were castrated, feeling that that would eliminate it. But there were many evil eunuchs devising all kinds of games. So that cutting of the testicles did not produce righteousness. No more than the monks, including Martin Luther, who would whip themselves and flog themselves because of sinful thoughts, because They might have wanted to touch themselves, or they might have thought about getting drunk, or they might have thought about a woman or a man, or who knows, a sheep, I don't know. The perverse nature of man can, especially men who fantasize, they can come up with all kinds of things. But that external flogging did nothing. Self-criticism, friends, those of you who are going to criticize yourselves for not being on the same page as God now you feel out of it, so you're going to criticize yourselves for not having died to self already. Please, that criticism will make sure that you never die to self. That's your ego. That's the trick. That's the game. That's wrong. See, right there, or criticize yourself for not having that thought and saying, I'm going to drift. It's better that you just be irresponsible right now and go out and just go out and have a coffee and go in late to work and tell the boss you don't care. I mean, it's almost better to do that than to beat yourself or to criticize yourself. Everyone's programmed to do a good job for their master. You're programmed as a child to serve your master, meaning your boss, your parents, your professor, your law, your army, your whatever. But to the extent that you've got that mentality, you're a slave. You're a slave to what? To mass delusion and mind control, which is for the purpose of your destruction. So it's important that you get this message so that you will live and you'll be in peace. Not so you can get mad at me and go, oh, gee, Z, you're making everyone feel bad. No, this message is to make you feel good. I'm telling you to drop the self-criticism, self-loathing. To drop all this, because you as a self are not qualified to judge yourself, period, because you don't exist, not unless you die to self and the I am exists and you don't. Only in that capacity will you be free, and only in that capacity will you be happy, and only in that capacity will you truly have a sense of joy. But it won't be you. It's Christ that is joy, because you can never be joyous. You, whoever you think you are, who is trying to decipher this message, you don't exist to have joy. That's not what was made. You cannot have joy. You cannot be happy. You cannot achieve. You cannot win. You can't do anything. If people say, well, I just don't care anymore. Well, you know what? Good for you. You're closer to God now. When you say, I just don't care anymore, I'm just going to walk out that door, whatever, let the world go off the cliff, I'm in my hammock, you're closer to God. I'm going to go out and do all these good works, I'm going to go out in the field and save all these poor people, you're further from God. Oh, yeah! Because, you see, that I'm going to be a do-gooder and do all these works, that is an abomination unto God. Unless you have died to self, he lives in you, and then that's what he does through you. If it's anything other than that, it doesn't count. And also, those people that you say you're helping, they're an illusion. They don't exist. And they're not happy either because of what you've done. Oh, that's a place to start, Z. I mean, are you suggesting that everyone be cold and cruel? Yes. Better that you just be an irresponsible vagabond, whether you go to work or not, but realize it doesn't matter if you work or not. It doesn't matter if I show up here and talk to you or not. It doesn't matter if I go on there, but I'm there, so I'll do it, but I don't care. That's better than, oh, I care. I care, brother. Oh, I care, sister. I want to help you, but me help you is false, because there is no me and there is no you. Again, the trick of the mind, another snare, more bondage, no peace. And the Buddhists say, well, I'm going to get peace because I'm going to meditate on nothingness, because I'm nothing. It's nothing but a void, and now I'm a total peace. And because of this peace, I want all beings to feel this compassion. No, because you don't exist. And other beings aren't there. You are alone in this universe, and the minute that you understand that, and the minute you understand that to believe in Jesus Christ means to die to self. Yes, I know Paul said, if you believe he was raised from the dead, but what, who amongst you believes he was raised from the dead based on just evidence that you see? So you say, oh, I believe it. It's not the same as believe that the sunrise, I mean, you believe in the Titanic sinks or something like that. A belief in Jesus Christ triggers the response of death to self, or the belief isn't there. If you believe, then X would happen. If you don't believe, then nothing would happen. Can you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? Really, further, I mean, that's kind of a lousy, you know, it goes beyond Romans 10:9. What I'm saying is, there's a lot more to it than what's said in that one. That's verse, what I, just reading that verse is out of context. Out of context, just like I'm out of time. Well, I love you. I'm praying for you. Let me just give you this. Do not criticize yourselves today. This message is to bring you joy. Just be your bad, irresponsible self for a minute. Just laugh. I'm free because I don't care. Closer to God. Oh, you saint. I am humbled. And I will see you next time.